Hey there, King of Kings family. Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Beyond Sunday Sermons, our opportunity to take another look at Sunday's message and give our take, as well as provide some interesting nuggets that may provoke some thoughts and challenge you to maybe get into the Word and think a little bit further about what was preached on Sunday. I'm Dan Hoppen, the Director of Small Groups, and with me is Caleb Hack, King of Kings Director of Kids Ministry. And Caleb, I want to introduce ourselves to the audience a little bit more. So I'm going to start off with a little bit of a question this week. What are you watching on TV right now? You got anything that you and April are binging on?
Oh my goodness. We are very big on watching different shows. So we've got our Star Wars, the Bad Batch animated Star Wars show. We go, I go deep into the Star Wars nerd lore and movies and shows and books and all that.
He's not joking, people, and he's proud of it.
I'm proud of it, absolutely.
As he should be.
100%. So we're watching that. We had been watching a little bit of Law and Order, and then we just randomly out of the blue got into the Netflix show Love is Blind.
Oh no, Caleb. I had no idea this was coming.
I knew that one would surprise you. So yeah, we've already binged, I think, two seasons of it.
I can't judge you because I haven't watched that show, and honestly, I don't know anything about it. Maybe it's a very wholesome show. The title doesn't lead me to believe that, but what do I know? I don't know.
I'm here for the drama. It's very dramatic.
It's a drama show. Fair enough.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I am very excited because as we record this, we are 2 days away from the new season of Top Chef returning, and that is Sarah and I's binge thing. Like, we got hooked on Top Chef right at the start of COVID, like right when they told us to all go home and never see each other again. And so we were like, well, we have all this extra time where we used to see friends and family. What are we going to do? We found Top Chef and we watched, at that point, it was like 17 or 18 seasons.
Wow.
We watched it like 2 months.
Wow.
We would watch like 6 episodes a day. It was
now
insane.
Are they like 20-minute episodes or?
Nope.
Oh boy.
Nope. They're 40-minute episodes.
Okay. That's pretty peak levels of binge watching, yeah, right there.
We had some free time.
But you were a Star Wars fan too. I've gotten you to watch, I think, some of those animated Star Wars shows.
Yeah,
and
I've enjoyed them quite a bit. I'm not on your level yet, but I'm working on it. I'm your
gotta catch up.
You are my Yoda.
Yeah.
And I'm your Padawan trying to learn. And we are so far away from what anyone listening to this podcast tuned in for.
Yeah.
So let's steer it back and let's talk about 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11, which was the section that Pastor Mark Zender camped out in this past weekend. First of all, I just love Pastor Mark. It was so great having him back and hearing him preach. He is just such a talented speaker and people person. But in this section, Pastor Mark pointed out how Paul is very intentional about defining the we versus the they. The we are the believers of Jesus Christ. The they are either those who haven't heard Jesus' truth yet, or they prioritize the ways of the world over him. And we just see in these 11 verses repeated time and time again, Paul is either saying we or they, and just making that clear distinction. So let's open it up, Caleb. What's going to last in this message beyond Sunday for you?
Yeah, I think the thing that is going to stick with me is this section is all about Jesus coming back. And I think it flows pretty naturally out of the conversation they were having and what we talked about last week, where it's about, okay, well, what happens if our loved ones pass away? And are they being raised to life? Like, what's happening? You know, so those kinds of end times eschatological questions.
Oh my gosh, is that a real word?
Eschatological. Eschatology is the study of the end times. So
eschatological.
Yeah, say that one 10 times fast.
I can't say it one time
even
slow.
One time.
Goodness.
But basically, so this kind of study of the end times and okay, well, what happens when we die? And then what happens kind of at the end of the world, you know, the end times? Well, this passage here, this section talks a lot about Jesus coming back and what that's going to look like, or what we don't know, maybe if that's the thing that we have to look forward to. And so so basically, the thing that sticks with me really is it's not about when Jesus is coming back, but that he is coming back. And I think that was emphasized a couple of times in this message, and that really sticks with me.
What sticks with you about it?
Well, I mean, it's so easy for us to speculate, okay, well, I wonder when he's coming back. Like, it could be tomorrow. It could be, you know, right now. And Pastor Mark, I think, did a good job explaining what a lot of us feel when we're like, well, I have so much more life I want to live. Uh-huh. You know, young people might be like, I want to get married, go to college. I want to have children and a family. I want to grow old with my spouse. Like, those are things that I can relate to. And so it's always like, well, what if Jesus comes back before I get to do that? There's a sense of loss almost sometimes where it's like, okay, but that's not really what matters. It's the fact that he is coming back, and we want to live in a way that we're sharing the love of Jesus with everyone because we don't know. Like, and the fact that our loved ones or people that we know may not know Jesus and may not come to the fullness of eternity to live with Jesus forever. Like, we want people to know that this is vital. Like, there's urgency to this.
Yeah. I think that's something that I struggled with a little bit, especially when I was first starting to read Mark's manuscript and before I saw his entire sermon, was when he was making this really clear delineation between the we and the they. It almost made it sound like there are two opposing camps, and you're either in one or you're in the other. And to me, I was like, well, why are we dividing the camps? Like, to go full Star Wars nerd again, it made me think only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Ooh, that's a good quote.
So it was like, you're either with me or you're against me. But then Mark went on to say, well, there are two takeaways that we have from this passage. We need to encourage the we that is. So other believers, we need to build each other up, reinforce that we're doing the right thing, be there for one another because our lives are going to be difficult. That was promised to us. But we also need to expand the we that could be. So yes, right now there is a we and there is a they and there is a clean line. But that clean line does not mean that it can't be crossed. And our goal as Christians in the we has to be to cross that line, go over to the way, grab people, as many as we can, and bring them over and show them that a life with Christ is just so beautiful and a death with Christ is going to be even that much better.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome because we do have something to look forward to that we want everyone to know about and to share with us. And the fact that, you know, there is this we, and we think of we maybe could just also be all of humanity. Like, we want that to be the case where we're all in this together. We're all, you know, celebrating in eternity forever. But there's people that don't believe that, and we want to share the good news with them. But I think this passage also kind of highlights, you know, the we means everyone. Jesus didn't come just for a select few. He came to save everyone. So I love the passage in this chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's verse 10, is it? Where it says, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep.
That is verse 10, by the way.
We may, good. We may live with him. So, you know, no matter, you know, there's this language in here of being awake or asleep or being drunk or sober kind of talks about the same thing. Like, there's people that are aware of this absolute truth that Jesus is coming back. There's people that aren't aware of that. Jesus died for all of them the same. I think that's so important.
Yeah, I highlighted that as well because it really stuck out to me. Like, Jesus died for the person who will never believe in him, whether that's because they don't, you know, get the opportunity, whether they reject him, whether they are in outright opposition to him and, you know, are actively trying to get people out of churches or away from him. Jesus died for those people too, which is, I mean, it's just incredible to me. And I love it so much. And that's why I love how you read 1 Thessalonians 5:10. Immediately, that goes into verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And so I really tried to think tangibly. What does this look like? And Pastor Mark gave a great example. He said he had a medical procedure done recently, and he decided that when he went into the hospital, he was just going to tell everybody he interacted with about Jesus. And I was like, that's kind of crazy, but it's also kind of cool. There's a guy on staff here. His name's Peter Bay. If you've been at King of Kings for 10 minutes, you know who Peter is. He is a very outgoing, just awesome individual. And something that I've noticed when I go out to eat with Peter is he is very intentional about learning the waiter or waitress's name and engaging them throughout the meal. And then even potentially if they're receptive to it, or if, you know, if they're engaging in that conversation, he'll ask to pray for them. And that's something, I mean, obviously I'm very passionate about restaurants and the restaurant industry. So I was like, this is kind of a way for me to bring both of my worlds together. And so I've tried to be a lot more intentional about that, about trying to get to know my waiter and not just saying, yeah, I'd love the, you know, steak fajitas with a side of brown rice, but saying, hey, what'd you say your name was? Oh, you're Michael? How long have you been working here, Michael? Have you worked at any other restaurants? Are you married? Like, not trying to get too personal, but trying to show value to this person because, A, I've got a cross necklace around my neck. Everybody sees that, so they know where I stand. But B, it opens it up and just lets that person know that, you know, even if I don't tell them anything about faith, that a Christian cares about them. So I know you shared in Connect Group, you were a server one time. You had a really poor experience with a Christian.
Yeah. There was I worked at an Applebee's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your top restaurant ever, right, Dan?
My favorite, yes. It's the number one ranked.
Oh, boy. Don't quote him on that. But I was a Christian already. And I'm serving this table. I don't know if I was the best server. I was probably a high school, college age student, you know, at this time. And somebody left a little card on my table that was a fake dollar bill. It was fake. And on the back, it was like, you don't need money. Like, the love of money is greed, or whatever that passage is. And then it was like, you only need Jesus. And that was their tip. Like, they didn't leave an actual monetary tip, but they left this fake. You know, that's not a good way to represent Christ to the world. Like, good thing I was already a Christian and a strong believer at that point. Because if I wasn't, that would have totally turned me off towards what it is we're selling here, which is Jesus, you know. If you really care about somebody, you're going to show love to them, and you're going to care about their soul. You're not just going to care about, what's going on here and now, but also for the future. Like, you do want both sides of that coin. Like, hey, I'll sit with you through the tough things, and I'll pray with you if you need that. And I'll be someone for you to lean on. But also, like, the end times are coming. Jesus is coming back. Like, there's a celebration in that. There's also some mourning if it's people that don't know him yet. And so we want to have that in our hearts with everyone we talk to, like, hey, am I going to see this person in heaven with me someday?
And I think it's so easy because it's been, you know, thousands of years since Jesus died, and our generation obviously has not experienced Jesus physically. It's really easy for us to say, well, this isn't going to happen in our lifetimes. Even if we believe it's going to happen, you know, I've been alive for 34 years, and I have no more evidence that Jesus is coming back tomorrow than I did the day that I was born. But that's kind of the point. God told us that nobody knows, not even Jesus knows when he's coming back, just God. And so it's our job to live out in faith and trust that that is true, and then act like he is coming back soon and celebrate that.
Yeah. And so Mark's points in the message were, we want to encourage the we that is and expand the we that could be. I think the encourage the we that is, it kind of comes back to the question, well, how do you know if we're in the we? And he asked that. You know, I think the main thing for us to think about is, like, okay, this isn't something to scare us with. It's not something that we need to be frightened of. Oh, you're not in the we, you're going to the bad place, right? But to know that Jesus died for everyone, regardless, you know, of what they truly believe. Jesus died for all of us. He has grace for us, and what he has done for us is about him working in us and not about what we do. Because a lot of times it's like, well, if Jesus is coming back, then I have to be on my best behavior, right? Like Santa Claus. It's not Santa Claus.
No, very much
not at all. And Jesus has grace in every situation. All we need to do is believe. And if we believe, you know, God's working in our hearts, and we want others to believe that too.
So, Caleb, how are you going to apply this message to your life?
Yeah, I think the big application for me has to do with kind of equipping. So, you know, encourage the we that is. And I think the way that we want to prepare for Jesus coming back is talked about here. I think he kind of mentions some of that armor of God in verse 8 a little bit. So the passage says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." So that's just kind of two pieces. And then I wanted to remind myself about the rest of the armor of God. So I went to the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, 13 through 17 that talks about this. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So equipping myself with all those pieces of the armor of God, you know, ready to stand firm against whatever comes my way. I think that is how I feel ready to know that God's with me. He's provided things to help me in my journey and ways that I can also help others. So that's a big takeaway. And I think the urgency of it all, with knowing that Jesus could come anytime, is kind of a reason to apply ourselves into the study of his word and into communion with other believers and into just the ways that I can interact with anybody who maybe does or doesn't know Jesus.
Very well said. And I kind of took this from almost the flip side, and it goes back to what you were talking about probably 10 minutes ago or so near the beginning of this podcast, when you were talking about people who are a little bit like excited for Jesus to come back and to go to heaven, but also, you know,
the scariness too.
It is scary. And then there are a lot of things on this earth that I have not experienced yet that I want to experience. My wife and I don't have kids yet. I want to have a baby. I want to travel. Like, thank goodness we got to see the Cubs win a World Series so I can check that one off. But like, you know, I'm doing so much stuff with restaurant hopping, and like, what is that going to like look like in a couple of years? And there's a part of me that's like, yeah, God, I can't wait for you to come back, but just hold off for just a little bit. Let me experience a few of these things. But I really challenged myself as I was having these thoughts, and I was like, okay, let's remind myself of what heaven looks like. So just a couple examples. Jesus, when he's talking to the thief on the cross, says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise is better than anything we have on earth. And then got into Revelation a little bit. There's a passage in Revelation that says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and even death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for all the former things have passed away." And then further in Revelation, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of moon or sun to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." And I was like, there's nothing on earth that compares to that stuff. yeah, I want to have a kid and I pray that God blesses my wife and I with that. But if this, what the Bible is promising, comes before that happens, bring it on. There's nothing is better than heaven. And not only do I want to experience that, but I want to live a life that makes others want to experience it too.
Yeah, it's something to celebrate. I love that.
For sure. All right. Any final thoughts?
Well, I mean, you mentioned the Cubs and go Pastor Cubs, Mark. Go. I was about to go there.
Go, yeah. Cubs, go.
He started his sermon this week with the celebration songs of sports teams, and that's the first thing that popped into my head. Go, Cubs, go.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say?
Cubs are going to win today.
We'll leave you with that, King and Kings family. Let's keep living our faith lives beyond Sunday.